Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's AEW Dynamite Review Show here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Thursday, December 23rd, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and you guys guessed it. We are talking about last night's episode of Dynamite, Holiday Bash. What a fun episode, and I'm so excited to talk about the whole stankin' thing with you guys right after the intro.
I came to AEW to dominate.
Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Nobody is gonna take this away from me. This is mine once again.
All right, you guys, I hope you have all had a wonderful week, and I hope you all have some great holiday plans coming up. We got Christmas coming up soon, New Year's, all the good stuff, a whole bunch to look forward to. And if you don't have any fun holiday plans, or you don't celebrate these holidays, or you're like me and you think New Year's is kind of stupid, I hope you enjoy whatever time off you get from it. So with all that being said, though, guys, we are here to talk about the sport, the one sport that does not take an off season, that goes on all year round, 365 days a week, kind of, days a week, days a year, kind of, professional wrestling. And last night's show was definitely probably leaning more on the sports entertainment-y side of professional wrestling, dare I say, on this podcast. However, that is not a bad thing in some cases, and I had a really fun time watching last night's show because I just finished it right now. That is just the way my schedule looks right now, and that's just how things ended up working out. However, looking at the bright side to that whole thing is that it is fresh in my mind. I am excited to talk about all of it with you guys, and we're gonna change it up a little bit this week. We're gonna flip the script, change things around. We are gonna do what Vince McMahon does every week before Monday Night Raw, and we are going to tear the script up and start anew. And I think let's just start with the main event first. I think we're going to take a little piece from Matt and just somehow randomly start with one match and then jump around. I have a feeling we'll just go to the beginning of the show. But I do want to talk about the main event first because it is fresh in my mind. And I really had a fun time watching it. The main event, if you guys obviously for some reason didn't watch Dynamite or you need a refresher, was CM Punk, Darby Allin, and Sting. Yes, 2021, CM Punk, Darby Allin, and Sting. And it was like pink Darby Allin, too. So CM Punk, Darby Allin, and Sting versus FTR and MJF. They had the three initial gang versus the guys who had their face painted. And wow, did that look cool. I don't know about you guys, but I thought, especially Sting's face paint. I mean, Darby Allin's hair and everything, the whole vibe was really awesome. But Sting's face paint was like some intricate you-know-what. So that in itself, you guys know I don't. As I'm about to go into this, I just had the thought. But you guys know I don't like the tights on CM Punk, but I understand why he had to wear them last night on Dynamite. I get the vibe. I understand the Sting vibe. However, that reminds me because as somebody who antagonizes me for my dislike of CM Punk wearing tights, Zach Smith was supposed to be on the show with me this week. However, just similar to Ashley Mann the week before, something kind of came up. Schedules got a little futsy. However, we will have him on again because I would love to be able to talk to him or Ashley or anybody really on this. Have a nice, wonderful co-host on the show. I do always feel like the show goes a little bit better when you guys can hear someone else who isn't just me talking into a microphone for up to 40 minutes about most of the time. So I just want you to know that Zach Smith, Ashley Mann, whoever else, they are coming. They are not far behind. They're always out there. They're always just, you know, a tweet away. And if you want to hear them, if you don't get enough of them from the few times that they're on this show and you're like, how else can I just listen to Zach Smith? How else can I just listen to Ashley Mann? You can actually go find Ashley Mann on a new podcast called Kicking Ash, A-S-H. And you can find Zach Smith at Random Wrestling, but you can also find him on this podcast feed doing the NXT review. And speaking of this podcast feed, we got a whole bunch of stuff going on here with the SmackDown review with Michael Ritter. We got news briefs with Amanda. We got Matt with his Raw review. We got a week in review. We have wrestling nostalgia. We have rivalries. I think we still have all these things, and I'm not missing anything, but you know, my brain, my memory has just not been great lately, and I have just not even had a second to listen to the podcasting world, to tune into. I enjoy podcasts a lot too. Funny enough, that's probably why I'm doing a podcast, but I really find myself just like loving, like I prefer to put podcasts on in the car than music. I don't know why I'm going down this tangent, but life has just been so busy. I've just been on the phone constantly. I have not really been able to just tune into the wrestling world of podcasts. So hopefully the holidays, I get to catch up on some stuff. And yeah, and if you want a chance to catch up on some stuff, or if for some reason you do not tune in to the rest of this feed and you're just like, you know, like my blood sister, brother, sibling, and just only are just devoted to this podcast, I urge you to check out the rest of this feed, because there's a bunch of awesome co-hosts on this whole WWE podcast shindig we got going on here, and you are missing out if you're not listening to their shows as well. So, however, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing, and you know, but do definitely go check out as well Ashley Mann's new podcast, Kicking Ash. That's kicking as if something that I want to do to Logan Meyer 23 shin, and then ASH like Ashley, but like ass, but ash. That's the joke. If you guys didn't get it, now you know. All right, let's get back to the main event of Dynamite before I try to make any kind of or explain any more jokes, or I'm just going to come on this podcast and start telling you guys dad jokes for some reason. I don't know. Let's get back into the main event. CM Punk, the tights, whatever. I got the vibe. I understood what we were going. I understood what he was going for. I understood what we had going on here. I can forgive it. I also think CM Punk saw what Hook looked like in those fight shorts, and I don't think he's ever going to put on another pair of fight shorts in his entire life. Guys, that reminds me, we didn't talk about Hook. We'll get into it. I want to stay focused to the best of my ability here on this main event, because I really did enjoy it. So, first of all, the entrances. What a blast. Just how much fun. All three guys got their own shine. You know, Darby Allin's staying and CM Punk all got to enter separately, and I really did enjoy that. And I like that Darby Allin got his own entrance as well. I think about being Darby Allin. I know it's like weirdly my gimmick to know people's ages, even though I don't ever know anybody's ages. I just look it up as I'm recording here. I don't even pause it and pause. I don't even pause it and stop to look it up. I just continue to record and talk. All right, Darby Allin, like I just did right there. Darby Allin is 28 years old. Imagine if you are older than 28, or if you're not, I don't know. Just imagine being a younger human, male or female, and or whatever you identify as, and getting the opportunity to wrestle alongside Sting and Darby Allin. It's distinct Sting and Darby Allin. Sting and CM Punk in 2021. Who would have thought? Not to mention in Greensboro as well. Having a match called by Tony Schiavone. 2021 is absolutely whack, guys, for all the crazy things that have gone on this year and last year. And I'm sure, you know, none of us have had an easy year, and none of us have had, you know, two easy years, especially this pandemic has been hard on everybody, and everybody just has life stuff going on. You know, everybody just has, life gets lifey. For all the difficult that 2020 and 2021 has brought us, it also brought us Sting. The return of Sting to professional wrestling and CM Punk. And I'm not jumping on the Sting bandwagon, but I do know that there are a lot of you guys who are huge Sting fans, because a lot of you guys have a lot more nostalgia for that than I am capable of having, because I wasn't born yet. So, anyways, moving on down, though, as I was saying, these guys entered, which was really cool, and I got, you know, with CM Punk doing the Sting howl thing, it was nice as well. It was a nice feel-good moment instead of the it's clobbering time. CM Punk's face paint by the end of the match looked really, really silly. But, I think Darby Allin and even Sting, like, managed to look pretty cool with it. Jeff Hardy, too, like, as it, like, wipes off their face by the end of the match. They look pretty intense. Like, CM Punk kind of looked like he should have been at a carnival by the end of the match. But, so, as we start this whole thing off, right, the baby faces are doing their thing. MJF, throughout the entire match, right, the story is that MJF is just avoiding CM Punk, even to the extent he runs all the way up the Raptors and then all the way back down them at one point. I'm pretty sure that was just CM Punk saying, hey, all of you people who say I don't have good cardio, watch me. Feel free, CM Punk, go off. And so the story of the match was just MJF kind of trying to avoid CM Punk. And then at the end of the match, going on the commentary table and talking about how CM Punk was trying to avoid him the entire time. Really, really stereotypical, like generic, carny heel stuff. And somehow MJF does it so brilliantly every single time. And I enjoyed it, and it was fun, and it fit the vibe of what this match really was. And this match had a very throwback feel to it. It had a very... yeah, just like a much less 2021 pro wrestling vibe than most matches on Dynamite have. And there's nothing wrong with that. Definitely this match was, again, it was a Christmas episode or a holiday episode of AEW. So I think, you know, they made the right decision with Sting, Darby Allin, and CM Punk taking the victory. Spoiler alert if you didn't see it. But I also think that the nature of the vibe and the nature of the match itself was perfect for what it was and what day it was on and what it was trying to accomplish. So with that being said, I kind of figured like, oh, this is going to be like a cutesy fun. I didn't look at the time, like how much time was left. And I thought this was kind of going to be like a house show adjacent match. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, like a very house show feel to it. And then, I think it started maybe a little bit earlier, but then CM Punk gets the hot tag, right? And this guy goes off with a double team on FTR, back and forth. I'm skipping one spot that I really thought was just awesome, and it was post after CM Punk and MJF are running around the stadium, so they finally get back there before we go to commercial break. And you got FTR and MJF all standing in one spot, and then CM Punk and Sting standing in another spot. And then somebody takes a missile launcher, rocket launcher thing, and just shoots Darby Allin out of it right at the three of them with a suicide dive. Of course, Darby Allin bounces off them. We got Darby Allin chants. Oh, it was just so, that was so good to hear too. Imagine being on a team with Sting and CM Punk, and you're getting Darby chants. Again, it must feel awesome to be Darby Allin right now, at least professionally. So I did want to quickly mention that. But so, as I was saying, CM Punk gets this hot tag, right? And just goes off. Like the 2-on-1 attack with FTR. He is, again, if anybody else is doubting his cardio, he's going from here. All of a sudden, he's over there. He's jumping off the top rope, a great cross body. He's doing the whole thing. And he's definitely, there was a little bit of a slip up on the actual when he was jumping into the ring off the hot tag. But... and then FTR, like, trip him up, do a superplex off the turnbuckle, and then into, like, a splash, get a near fall, which looked awesome, by the way. And now all of a sudden I'm like, I'm sorry, I thought we were watching, like, a fun house show match. This just got, like, really good all of a sudden. And not that, like, a fun house show match can't be really good, but you guys, if you've been watching wrestling long enough, you kind of get a vibe. You know the vibe. And this vibe switched up real quick. I don't know why I'm using that word a lot. The feeling. You know the feeling. But not, like, my feeling towards this match switched up so quickly. And then Sting gets a hot tag. Not only does he flip MJF up and over the top rope, and MJF almost broke his neck. Hopefully he's okay. I haven't seen any bad reports on anything, but hopefully he's okay. Because, though I have to say, if MJF is total... Here we go, guys. Total sidetrack. If MJF ever got injured, I think he would probably be akin to the Britt Baker and probably elevate his career even more so injured. I think he would just be even better and manage to, you know, bring even more heat to himself. I don't think it would slow him down much, honestly. But thank God, from what all accounts, he's okay considering if I didn't miss anything, it seems like he's okay, but it did look like a rough bump. But then Sting, again, I'm supposed to know the ages of these people, guys. I'm working on it. I'm slowly but surely memorizing. I learned today that Darby Allin is 28 years old. Sting, who is 62 years old. Oh, and I'm seeing a picture of him from back in the day, and I get the vibe. I understand why you guys were all about it. I am understanding the nostalgia. He looks pretty badass. I'm just kidding. I've seen Sting before, just so we're clear. I didn't know he had Finn Balor abs at one point. All right, I'm sidetracked. Sting gets a hot tag, does a crossbody off the top rope onto all three men, and just blows me away, guys. It blows me away. I think about the people I know who are 62 in my life, and they're not doing crossbodies off the top rope, so I can tell you that. And especially considering the wear and tear this guy has put on his body, he really... I mean, he moves around the ring almost as good as, almost as well as CM Punk does. If not, sometimes he even looks more fluid. And, you know, he's been back at this for a little while longer than CM Punk has been back at it. But still, I'm blown away every single time. I'm just sheerly blown away by the fact that this man is 62 years old and he does things that I couldn't even imagine trying to ever do in my lifetime. Fitness-wise, athleticism-wise, flexibility, all the strength. It's just unbelievable. So, you know, we get this kind of, the whole entire match breaks down. We get a Scorpion Death Drop at one point. We get CM Punk, Darby Allin, and Sting all running into the corner and doing their little shebangs. Darby Allin just, like, literally throws his entire body. It must suck to take those coffin drops and suck to take those suicide dives even more so. But we get CM Punk about to hit the GTS on MJF, but Dax Harwood throws himself, pushes MJF out of the ring like his true, takes one for the team like a true brother, and gets hit with the GTS, then gets hit with Sting, and then Carby. I was about to call him Carby. I don't know why all of a sudden Darby Allin became Kirby. If you guys are Super Smash Bros. People, you know that all I'm picturing right now is like Kirby with half-painted Darby Allin face paint. Okay, so Darby Allin. Darby Allin hits the coffin drop. They get the 1-2-3, or CM Punk gets the 1-2-3, and the babyfaces get the victory, and it's a beautiful way to go off the air. You know, and MJF, like I said before, goes to commentary and does your typical heel shtick. And I thought MJF was really good in this match. Was it a little over the top for me at certain points? Yes. Was this a little bit sportsy, entertainment-y, less like, I guess this, that's not the right word. And you know what? I'm going to take that back. I'm redacting my statement of sports entertainment-y. I think just, I don't know. I can't think of a good word besides maybe house showy. Just a little house showy. But I don't think that's bad. And all of a sudden, too, this match revved up from house showy to, like, a really thrilling main event. So I want to give all six guys all the credit in the world. FTR. FTR somehow managed to wrestle, like, 2.0, but also wrestle, like, the greatest tag team in the world all in one match. And I have not been so high on FTR lately. You guys know that. They took a step forward for me in this match. I can certainly say that. So it's nice to see FTR. FTR work incredibly well with Sting. I don't know what it is. You know, I'm a little biased, but I was at Grand Slam for their match against, for the match between Darby Allin and Sting versus FTR. And it was really one of the greatest matches of the entire night, including Rampage and Dynamite. So FTR just, for some reason, have a knack of working with Sting, probably because they're under the tutelage. I don't know what the Tully tutelage. They're under the Tully. Probably because they're under the tutelage of Tully Blanchard. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this main event. I hope you guys had as great of a time watching it as well. And you know, now we're gonna get in our little time machines and go all the way back to the beginning of the show, because for some reason I decided to start with the main event today, because it's the holiday season. Things are different. We're changing it up. We're keeping it fresh. Minty fresh and new here on the AEW Dynamite Review Show. All right, let's talk about the first match of the night, which was Adam Cole versus Orange Cassidy. And speaking of fun and how showy, this had a very similar vibe to the main event. It kind of started off one way and ended in a very similar way as the show itself. These guys are a perfect pairing because Adam Cole, similar to Taz, is like really funny to watch get like really pissed off. Like, he has really good facial expressions, and he's really entertaining to watch as somebody who gets really angry when he plays a heel. He just looks like he's kind of like, he kind of reminds me of like a cartoon character. Again, similar to Taz is the same way. And I also quickly want to throw out, Taz on commentary was just special tonight. I really love Taz on commentary. I love the booth that we've been getting the last couple weeks. Obviously, no ill wishes to anybody, and I wish JR all the best in his recovery and all of that, but I will say that I prefer this three-man booth so much more, and I'm happy that JR is getting better, and JR is supposedly supposed to be back next week, if I remember, if I heard correctly, but I am going to miss Taz, because he just provides something special for me. Subjectively on commentary, he provides something special. I think he's so good at what he does. And yeah, anyways, I'm going off track here. Let's stick with the match. Adam Cole Orange Cassidy, like I said, Adam Cole, just so good at playing like a cartoon character heel, but also not too over the top. He's just fun to watch get angry, and that's exactly what he did with somebody like Orange Cassidy. And I thought this match did a particularly good job. If you have never seen an Orange Cassidy match, boy, was this a good place to start. I thought just the way that commentary and Orange Cassidy, let me give Orange Cassidy all the credit in the world as well, but the way Orange Cassidy and commentary sold why he does what he does, why he lures people in with like the little fun gags that are just entertaining, like the little kickies and the little, I don't know why I called that's, I'm now trademarking them as the little kickies, by the way, here. But the little kicks and the hands in the pockets and all that stuff. Like, Taz did a really good job, particularly as well, as I just put him over for like 5 minutes. Taz did a really good job at explaining that he riles people up by doing that. It gets them off their game. It distracts them. And Adam Cole, in his right, did a really good job of showing that that's exactly what it does. However, the end of this match ended with, you all saw it, Kyle O'Reilly coming in to AEW. We found out by the end of the show he was officially All Elite. We had a distraction by Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly coming in, knocking down Orange Cassidy, and then Adam Cole hitting the boom. I think that's what it's called. By the way, we're going to talk about the Panama Sunrise in a moment, but I do just want to finish how we ended this match. So Adam Cole gets the boom, and then we get the 1-2-3. We'll talk about the post-match in a second. However, the Panama Sunrise near fall and the Beach Break near fall, but particularly the Panama Sunrise near fall, is so impressive. And I think we take this stuff for granted sometimes, or maybe that's not the right terminology, but we don't, like, I love finding those little nuances. Like, Adam Cole, I love finding out that people are even better at their job than I thought they were at their job, particularly with professional wrestling, because I don't think I feel that way about any other job or area of my life. But in professional wrestling, I love finding out that the pro wrestler that I like so much and think is so good at their job is actually even better than I thought they were at their job. And Adam Cole just proved me even more right with this match, because they did such a good job of taking their time and building up to the spot where all of a sudden, I don't even know how we got here, but I'm biting on a near fall for the Panama Sunrise when Adam Cole does not win matches off the Panama Sunrise. If you really see that, he doesn't, but you don't think of it that way, or maybe it's just me, because he always does such a good job of building up to it, and this match was a really good particular example of that. And I really thought that was a really great near fall. The Beach Break as well was a really good near fall, but particularly the Panama Sunrise, considering the very few. It's like the Famouser, but Adam Cole does such a better job. You actually believe it's going to end the match. So I really did enjoy this as overall, just like the match itself. I thought it did a really good job, similar to the main event, of towing the line. But this was a little bit less like house showy and more comedy. Like, it was a really impressively wrestled comedy match, and then it was able to, at certain points, right, become way more than that and become an actual, like, Orange Cassidy does such a good job of firing up. Like, he's got such a, like, the way he bursts out all of a sudden, he's so quick, and he was so quick in this match too. Commentary mentioned that plenty, but he's so quick, and he's so, like, over here, over there all the time, kind of like my brain does, but it's so fun to watch, because he's so explosive, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And I think they did a really good job of being silly and fun in the right moments, but also having this be like an exciting, great near falls, fun, explosive professional wrestling match. And then we got the story after the match, which I thought was really, really enticing. And I'm going to quickly preface this all with, I don't know how many people are going to come at me on the Twitter. Probably not a lot of people, because I don't think my fan base is big enough to get canceled. But I'm not a big Kyle O'Reilly person. And you know what? I think out of all shows, this would have been the show to have Zach Smith on. So, Zach, it is your loss, because we had the reunited, except for Roddy Strong, of course, who's the Cruiserweight Champion in NXT 2.0. We had the reunited Undisputed Era minus Roddy Strong. We had the reunited original Undisputed Era, if you really want to go back that far. And then the Young Bucks come out. And I like that. It was a little confusing, because it was like Kyle O'Reilly was supposed to be like this present, but at the same time, Maybe he wasn't. Maybe they had a different president. I don't know. That whole thing kind of got dropped, it seemed like, because Adam Cole went, like, back and forth with Kyle O'Reilly a little bit, like, what are you doing here kind of thing. But if he was supposed to be the president, Kyle O'Reilly for president, 2K24. If he was 2K25, if he was supposed to be the president, why was Adam Cole, like, acting the way that he did when Kyle O'Reilly interfered? I don't know. Maybe it was because he wasn't supposed to interfere. It doesn't matter. And I'll be all, the story of this match is really cool. The story of the post-match is really cool. Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, who, by the way, has the best facial hair in professional wrestling, and Kyle O'Reilly reuniting the Undisputed Era, OG minus Roddy Strong. I said all that before, though, and just, like, totally forgot to make my point, is that I'm not a big Kyle O'Reilly person. Maybe I did say it. I don't know, guys. It's been a long day. I'm not a big Kyle O'Reilly person. He just doesn't really do it for me. And his last NXT run with his, like, saga matches with Adam Cole for no reason and, like, let me Shawn Michaels look at my hands. Oh, my God, what have I done? And his weird little rib tattoo confuses me. And I don't really enjoy his matches. I'm not usually emotionally invested in what he does. I don't think he's good on the microphone. Not a Kyle O'Reilly person. I do think he's talented in the ring, but... not enough in this competition of how great people are in professional wrestling, how much amazing professional wrestling is out there. I don't think he is better than a lot of other people that could have been signed. Let me put it that way. And that's my subjective opinion. And you know what? I understand that people are really into this Undisputed Era stuff. I am not going to complain about the Undisputed Era stuff. I think these three guys particularly, almost more so without Roderick Strong, who I assume we're probably going to see one day. But I almost feel like these guys particularly, all of a sudden when they're in a group, they're just a bigger deal. Some people that really doesn't work with, and some people it does, but all of a sudden when you put these three guys together, not Adam Cole, Adam Cole's always a big deal, but particularly Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, all of a sudden become a bigger deal. And it just fits. I don't know why, but it does. It just fits these three guys. So watching the post-match with the Young Bucks coming out, kind of looking confused, like, Adam Cole, what you doing with these guys? Like, are those your exes? Like, don't you with us now? And Adam Cole being like, I don't know, you guys kind of dressed funny, but cute little outfit, Christmas. I'm going to walk out with my boys, though. I'll see you later in catering. That's essentially how it happened. Is an enticing and interesting angle, and I'm excited to see where they go next week. I'm excited to see what becomes of this. Are we going to get a big faction with the Super Click and the Elite? Are we going to get a versus? Are we going to get a match between these? Are we going to get a match between Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and the Young Bucks? Who's going to be a babyface? Who's not? When's Kenny Omega coming back? I want to give him all the time in the world to rest. Is Kenny Omega coming back? Where is Adam Cole's loyalties going to lie? There's a lot of fun questions and a lot of stuff to be excited to. There's a lot of fun questions and a lot of things to look forward to and be excited about, because I can have trust that AEW, the only storyline like this I can think about that just did not work for me was the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. But for the most part, these kind of stable and... I don't know if the mic picked that up, but I assume it did. And I want to apologize, but he has cancer in his toes, so you all have to listen to that. You all have to listen to that squeaking too if the mic is picking it up. I don't know what I was saying. I was saying if we can try... you done it? All right, I would like to apologize for that. We interrupt our usual programming to bring you Hendrix and his squeaky toys. But if you know, if you have a dog, you get it. But however, as I was saying, Undisputed Era... Young Bucks, we can trust that Tony Khan and AEW in general handles these kind of storylines really well. And I'm just looking forward to, like, what they're going to do next. Somehow we can come up with 100 different versions of fantasy booking, and AEW is always going to find that 103rd one. I don't know how they do it. They always do, though, and it always ends up being really awesome. You know, a lot of people had an idea of how they thought the Bryan Danielson Hangman Page match was going to go. And not a lot of people, but not a lot of people called a 1 hour draw. So yeah, there was also a post-match beatdown. I don't want to forget to mention that. Trent got beat, before there was this whole thing, there was a post-match beatdown. I don't care about talking about it. There's so many freaking post-match beatdowns. It's so uninteresting at this point. And which reminds me, I'm thinking of keeping a counter on this podcast for next year, 2022. Do we want to look at, do we want to keep track of how many interviews backstage or just interviews period are interrupted and how many interviews actually go off without being interrupted? Do we want to keep track of how many backstage, how many after match beatdowns are there? How many backstage beatdowns? I don't know. We're gonna hold AEW accountable in 2022, though. I want to throw that out there. So you guys let me know if there's any other tallies you want me to keep. You can find me on the Twitter, at Mimi Burris. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about when I say that, it's at Twitter. It's on the. It's at Twitter. Don't at Twitter. It's on. I'm talking about Twitter. And I'm very not with the times. So I call it the Twitter because I'm pretty sure I thought it was called Twitter for a long time. All right, let's move on and talk about the next segment, which was Bryan Danielson and our AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Hangman Adam Page, going back and forth about their match that is going to be on the first episode of TBS, of the first episode of TBS. No, the first episode of when they're going to be on TBS. So 2 weeks from now. And by the way, next week's Dynamite looks awesome as well. So Hangman Page comes out. He's being interviewed, quote unquote, by Tony Schiavone. It's never an interview. It's always just like a question. The person never actually answers the question. And then they cut a promo and they're usually interrupted. Fine. I enjoy it. But I don't know. We could like switch up the formats a little bit so it doesn't seem so contrived every time. Just throwing that out there. Not a huge problem, but it is like worth considering. So, however, there's not much to talk about this segment besides the fact that Hangman Page did reference, you know, Bryan Danielson being a B-plus player. And or he didn't reference, he referenced the term B-plus player and he referenced the yes thing and all that jazz. So we got a little bit of that. But for the most part, you know, Bryan Danielson was doing great. I think I had no idea that there was this Bryan Danielson on the mic. Or maybe I did know and I was aware of it, but like it had been so long since we really got to see it. So really enjoying this. Really enjoying watching Bryan Danielson play heel. I'm really curious to see where he's going to go after this feud. If he'll go back to a babyface or will stay heel. Because it's kind of hard to play this character once you've lost to the best in the business. And that's assuming, I guess, that he's going to lose. I don't know what you guys think. I still think Hangman Page is going to win and keep the title. I don't think they're going to put the title on Bryan Danielson. If they do, I think it's going to be another short title reign. Not like short, but like maybe a couple months max. But yeah, there wasn't much that kind of got added. This is all kind of the same stuff that's been going on between the two of them. So, and we have already talked for a half an hour here. So I do want to get into what was next, which was MJF cutting a promo backstage. Obviously, we already talked about the night's main event. However, there's one thing I did want to mention about this promo, other than the fact that MJF is just brilliant. I think, you know, FTR tripped up, I forget, I think it was Dax who was speaking, tripped up on his words a little bit, but it really didn't matter. The star here was clearly MJF's promo. Where this time, guys, it wasn't Metheny. It wasn't talking about how Brian Pillman's mother should have swallowed. It wasn't, I was going to say, I'm not even going to go there at this moment. I'm not even going to go there. Instead, this week, it was CM Punk is rustier in the ring than Darby Allin's knife he uses to skin animals. This man can literally get away with saying absolutely anything. I love the Darby and his creepy clown uncle. That will always pop me when he mentions that about Sting. I think that's so funny. And like I said, FTR cutting a promo as well. And then we got Sean Dean versus Wardlow. But I did want to mention, you know, this match is nothing we've seen. Literally the exact same thing we've seen the past couple weeks. I understand why they have to do it, but I don't have to analyze it because we've already analyzed it on the show. And if you want to hear my analysis via Wardlow and Sean Spears and this whole thing that they got going on, you can tune into literally any of the other past weeks because I've said pretty much the same thing every week, and it's that Wardlow is awesome. This is great. I enjoy the slow burn, but there's not much else to add today. So, but during the interview, the backstage, or not interview, but the whatever, I didn't need him to be like, I didn't need the cameras here for this. I think you did need the cameras here for this because you spoke directly to the camera. So that part didn't make sense. I wish they would either just like acknowledge the hidden camera stuff and like stop doing hidden camera stuff, or just like do the hidden camera stuff. Make a decision. No more gray area. It doesn't work for you, AEW. Don't stop that. But yes, so I wish that they would do that. But what I did, this was all supposed to be a compliment, I promise. And it was that MJF was standing, this, again, I could totally be reading into this stuff, but I really think that this company, and specifically the wrestlers in this company, paid this much attention to little details for little marks at home watching on their computers like me. MJF's like kind of slightly standing in front of Wardlow as he's cutting the promo. Standing right in front of Wardlow. Right, cutting Wardlow right out of the shot, standing right in front of Wardlow, who's a big guy, but you cannot see him while MJF is cutting his promo, and I thought it was something worth mentioning. So, little by little, Wardlow, MJF, this feud is a slow burn, and I'm loving it. Another slow burn feud I'm loving, if I forget to mention it, because we're going through, is this Christian Cage Jungle Boy thing they got going on with Luchasaurus as well. I love that shirt too. If I had money to my name, I would buy it for Christmas, but sadly that is not the case. So we're not talking about sad things though. We're talking about this wonderful, wonderful backstage thing that they had going on where, again, little by little, we're watching Jungle Boy get a little bit more edgy, for lack of a better term, just a little bit less white meat baby face. And every single time Christian is calling somebody a dipshit. So like, this time we had Jungle Boy. He's kind of like, I don't know, you know, back in the day, guys, if you can remember on the playground, there was like always that kid, or like if you think about any show, like your Malcolm in the Middles, or like back to, like, you know, Everybody Hates Chris, like those shows about like the uncomfortable nature of growing up as like a middle school aged kid and how weird and uncomfortable it is, and like all the stuff that kids say that makes no sense and whatever else. He kind of reminds me of, like, one of those kids where he's like, yeah, I'm going to take that coal. I'm going to take coal, and I'm going to shove it up your ass, and then I'm going to, there's going to be diamonds on the other. Like, he just sounds like he's, like, a cute little kid making insults. Like, you wouldn't, if you were on the opposite ends of these insults, you probably wouldn't take it too seriously. But I'm not going to talk about Matt Hardy and Private Party's promo, because Matt Hardy is, it doesn't make sense to me anymore. But you know what, everybody needs a manager for some reason. I don't know why, but everybody needs a manager for some reason, and I really hope to see Private Party doing bigger and better things later on down the line. And that is all I'm going to say about that, because we also have a Rampage review show on the show, if I remember correctly, as well. I have not gotten a chance to check it out yet, but I'm definitely looking forward to doing that. So we have that on this show as well, and you can tune into that show to hear more about what's going on this week, or what's going down this week on Rampage on Christmas, including a TNT Championship match between Cody Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. And Hook's back, guys. Hook is back. You know what? I'm taking the time. As before we get into what's next up here on the show, we're going to talk about Hook, because it's Hook, guys. Hook, the meme of Hook, like, lived up to the hype. Hook was incredible. I thought he was so good in the ring, and he looked so cool doing it. And the way he wrestled with this great aggression, clearly Taz's son, with the way he could, with all of his submissions, grappling, and all that stuff. Hook looked awesome, guys. And you know what? Not only does Punk fear Hook, everybody fears Hook. I fear Hook. You fear Hook. If you don't fear Hook, you fear Hook now, because everybody fears Hook. And that is the end of my slam poetry. All right, next up on Dynamite, we had Dan Lambert and Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page talking a bunch, another thing that I really don't care to talk about, and I don't think you guys care to listen about. And if you do, then this is probably not the podcast for you. And apparently, I'm not done with the slam poetry, because I'm still going. I'm a poet, and I didn't know it. The one thing I will say is Ethan Page has great facials, and I say that all the time. I think Ethan Page is doesn't need this manager. If he needs a manager, it doesn't need to be Dan Lambert. I don't think this gig is really working for him. I think it works a little bit better for Scorpio Sky, but I don't care what Dan Lambert has to say, and I don't think that Greensburg, I forget what I called it earlier, what it's called, but I don't think the crowd was not nearly as hot for it as it usually is, and that's the one thing that gets this over, is like just the fact that Dan Lambert can't get a word out. But when you really listen to what he's saying, it's all just nonsense, and I skip through part of it because I don't care that much. It's not heel heat for me this week, at least. It's just annoying and channel-changing heat. However, from a bad thing to a good thing, because we had the wonderful, I miss her, man. It feels like forever since she's wrestled on my television, but it really wasn't that long ago. Britt Baker, Tony Schiavone backstage for the Christmas party. I love Tony Schiavone's sweater. He asked Britt Baker, And basically, if she's scared, says she's never beaten Riho. But Britt Baker says she's bigger than Riho. She's stronger. She is the AEW Women's Champion. And she has Jamie Hayter by her side. Tony Schiavone has to point out that Jamie Hayter lost to Riho just last week or a couple weeks ago. But she says, she goes on her whole spiel about how she built this division. Like, she didn't come in and take anybody's space. She built this division from the ground up. She's a pillar of the division. She's a pillar of the company. And Riho is not going to dethrone her. And this was a nice little promo. I'd like to see more from the both of them. I'd like to hear more from Riho. But AEW and North American Professional Wrestling, period, does a terrible job of booking anybody who doesn't speak the native language of America. I don't know why I called it that. Who doesn't speak English as their first language. I honestly feel like NXT almost booked, you know, people who spoke a different first language better than any other wrestling company that I've seen. Again, North America. Thinking, like, obviously any main roster in WWE and AEW. I really think that we need to figure out how to get past what we think the mainstream professional wrestler in America is supposed to look like. And invite in people like a Riho, who's really incredible. And I'm thinking about back to Hikaru Shida, too, during the promos with Britt Baker. She had some fire. And yeah, she had subtitles down there. But I guess what? I can read. And if you can't, that's okay, too. But I'm capable. And a lot of people who are watching the show are capable of reading subtitles. And if they're not even, they can feel what Hikaru Shida was saying through her emotion. I really felt like those promos in the video package were so good from her that I can remember what they were better than the match for me. So, you know, AEW and every promotion, and I didn't mean to go on this whole spiel with you guys. I'm sorry. This is not supposed to be like a tangent about rights of everybody or whatever. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I do want to mention, like, that just because somebody is not first language, just because someone's first spoken language is not English doesn't mean that they shouldn't be getting the same amount of TV time, doesn't mean that they shouldn't be booked in a way where we can look at them just as much of a mainstream star as someone like Britt Baker and someone who does speak English as their first language. All right, I'm going to move on because for some reason that was a really big tongue twister for me. That entire spiel was a tongue twister. Next up, though, we had the Owen Hart video package for both tournaments, and what a beautiful tournament. Like, what a beautiful thing to do, and what a beautiful video package. I really thought this was, like, this made my heart well up. It was just a really nice moment, and it was a really good video package. It was really well put together, and what the wrestlers had to say was really sweet, and it didn't come off as disingenuous or anything like that. It felt just like, yeah, we don't talk about Owen Hart enough. And it's incredible that the AEW is doing this, and I'm looking forward to both tournaments. I'm really excited to see who's going to be announced for them, how it's going to go down. Are we going to get all the matches on Dynamite and Rampage, or is something going to be on Dark and Dark Elevation? You might even get me to watch Dark and Dark Elevation if you put some of those matches on there. You know, while I'm on the subject too, quick total side note, but how many of you, again, tweet me on the Twitter at Mimi Burris, M-I-M-I, it's B-U-R-R-I-S, at Mimi Burris. Some people really don't know how to spell Mimi, so I always feel like I want to throw that out there. I feel like Burris is a little bit easier, but some people really spell it M-E-M-E. And you know, if your name is Mimi out there, first of all, cool name, but and that's how you spell it, power to you, but that's why I mentioned that. Anyways, as I was saying, while I'm on the subject, I wanted to quickly mention, tweet me on the Twitter, at Mimi Burris, if you guys watch Dark and Dark Elevation, and like how religiously you do. I'm curious to know like how big of a hardcore fan base it really has. I know how many views it gets, but I don't know. There's a little bit of a difference as to like if I log in to Twitter, if I pull up my phone and pull out Twitter on like a Monday, I see people tweeting about Dark as well as Monday Night Raw. So, you know, that might just be my timeline, but I'm curious to hear about how many of you guys actually watch Dark or Dark Elevation. So, anyways, next up, guys, the women's match of the night for the AEW TBS tournament semifinals, Nyla Rose versus Ruby Soho. And, you know, I had higher hopes for this than what was delivered. And I honestly think that's because this is Ruby Soho is coming off the match against Chris Statlander, which I just absolutely adored. I thought the two of them worked so well together. And Nyla Rose was like low key. Like there was a sign out there that said like Nyla Rose is this guy's dad. Like, you know what? Nyla Rose is my dad, dude. The way she freaking puts on matches, and like the way she is so underappreciated, the way she is such a bad, you know what? Nyla Rose is such an underappreciated hand in AEW. You think about all like the low key, I don't want to call them bangers, but like low key, let me put it this way. A lot of matches that Nyla Rose is in, or most matches that Nyla Rose participates in, she always, if not 99% of the time, puts out like a great performance. Like I, at least from what I've seen. And I think she elevates whoever she's in the ring with as well. And she's always in, like, the, you know, whether it's at the end of Battle Royales or she's, like, always a challenger for a new champion. Like, we had for Karrueche, Britt Baker, Riho, all the, like, and she's a former AEW Women's Champion. Like, she is definitely a good hand and people definitely do not appreciate her enough. And that's why I was really excited for this match, because I was thinking Nyla Rose, somebody who, again, is such an underrated hand. And you almost go into the match not expecting a lot and then you come out of it somehow, like, just always, she always over-delivers because for me at least, I always have low expectations. I don't know why. I don't know why I feel that way, because Nyla Rose has proven me wrong. There's no logic that supports that statement, but that's just how I feel for some reason. Maybe it's because in my experience, there hasn't been a lot of like, in my experience at least, a lot of times women and men on like who are just the bigger wrestler are supposed to play the giant in matches haven't been booked well, and I haven't enjoyed their booking or their stories or their matches or whatever. However, Nyla Rose is changing that for me, because I really do enjoy what she does in the ring, and she's got some, like, she's pretty funny. She's got some banter. She's, like, she's hilarious on Twitter. And I will not ever, ever live, I will never forget on Dynamite, like, 2 weeks ago, that stupid stuff with the Bunny and Penelope Ford and Ruby Soho. I didn't care about that. Nyla Rose just comes in and goes, surprise, bitch! And, like, just punches Ruby Soho right in the face. That was so, so good, guys. Again, Nyla Rose is so underappreciated. And you know what? Today, December 23rd, Thursday, I'm having Nyla Rose Appreciation Night Day, because I really think that this could have been a better match than it was, and that Nyla Rose is going to continue to put on these good performances and continue to help other women in this division who maybe are a little bit greener learn how to wrestle better, learn how to wrestle somebody who's like a different size than they are. Because again, diversity in any division, not just the women's division, the men's division too, any kind of diversity is great. And Nyla Rose, not only does she provide a new look and a new vibe to a match and a new dynamic, but she's also, like I said, just a really good hand. So that's my little spiel on Nyla Rose for tonight. But overall, I wasn't loving this match until the end. And the finish was awesome. Nyla Rose being on the turnbuckle up there, and Ruby Soho hitting the, I forget what they call it. I still call it the riot kick. But hitting her finisher off the turnbuckle like that, it looked really awesome. And Ruby Soho selling her arm. I think Ruby Soho's got all the momentum in the world, and the crowd is behind her, and she's so beloved, and her entrance music is incredible, and I get chills when she comes out still. Like, I'm really behind the Ruby Soho thing. I just think she hasn't put all the pieces together in the ring yet, and I'm excited to continue to watch her grow, and hopefully that she figures that out. I think a lot of people were expecting her to be more of a general in the ring than she actually is. But I will say, you know, that match with Chris Statlander gives me hope for sure. And I think this just maybe wasn't their night. Everything was very slow. Maybe the chemistry wasn't great. I don't know. But I don't feel like it was on Nyla Rose, because I've seen some of the last matches Nyla Rose put on. For example, her match with Karrueche in this tournament was awesome. And I don't know. I've seen Ruby Soho has had some matches up until the Statlander match for me. So, I mean, the Britt Baker match was all right as well, but the Statlander match to me was her best showing in AEW yet. So, but yes, Ruby Soho comes out with the win, gets the pinfall, and we are probably getting a little bit of a throwback to the end of the Women's Casino Battle Royale, Ruby Soho and Thunder Rosa in the finals for the TBS tournament. I don't know who'd win that match, but I do not think it's going to be Ruby Soho, Jade Cargill. I think it's going to be the better match, and I think Thunder Rosa is going to be the better choice for that. And AEW loves its little long-term storytelling stuff that they can do there with a little end of, like, I think they thought this through, and they had the end of the Casino Battle Royale, what it was, and then they knew that this is where they were going to be in a couple months, because that's what happens when you plan stuff out. So, last but not least, guys, we are talking about Griff Garrison from the Varsity Blondes versus Malakai Black. And I want to quickly mention that I watched this match in my therapist's office waiting for my appointment today. And you know what? It's a good thing that I did do that, because if you've ever listened to this podcast before, you know that I have a weird, sick need, thirst, blood thirst to watch people get black masked across the face, especially freaking Brock Anderson. We haven't seen Brock Anderson since. You go, Malakai Black, just boom. Black mask across the face. Sometimes when I'm having a rough day, I just go back and watch that and just watch Brock. I have nothing against Brock Anderson. He seems like a nice guy. I just like to watch teeth in the face, but Malakai Black. And so I was really excited to watch Griff Garrison get kicked in the face, Malakai Black. And then he didn't get kicked in the face, but Malakai Black. He got put in a knee bar, which I really did enjoy this match, by the way. I thought the back and forth was really good. And Malakai Black somehow managed to give Griff Garrison enough offense, but also like didn't give him any offense. If that makes any sense. If you know, you know. But no, maybe you also don't know, because I might have also just made no sense. But like, he managed to let Griff Garrison get a couple strikes in, and that suicide dive looked rough. Like, looked like a rough bump from Malakai Black landing on Malakai Block. That's his name now. It's the House of Block. Malakai Black, though he landed on his head, looked a little bit rough. But it was cool to see Griff Garrison get a showing. Obviously, we got to see that feud with Brian Pillman Jr. and MJF, so it was nice to see a little bit more spotlight on Griff Garrison, who I actually enjoy watching in the ring way more than Brian Pillman Jr., but I have said that enough times on this podcast. So here I am sitting in my therapist's office waiting. I'm a little bit early for my appointment. I'm waiting for my lady or whatever. I'm waiting for the whole thing to start, so I'm sitting in the waiting room by myself with my headphones in. And you know, when you gotta find time for this stuff. Like, I really, for some reason, somehow I'm this busy at this time of year where I have to be in the waiting room watching this stuff. But, and Malakai Black locks in the knee bar. I don't know why I'm telling you guys all this, but Malakai Black locks in the knee bar. He's gonna go for the black mask, and then he doesn't. And then he goes down and locks in the knee bar. It looked like a brutal looking knee bar. And the just the kickboxing like style that Malakai Black has really shine through in this match, and I thought it really looked intense. Like that knee to the face of Griff Garrison earlier on was really good as well. But I was so upset. I was about to get up and start throwing stuff because Malakai Black didn't hit him with the black man in the face. He just put him in the knee bar, and it was more just like the knee bar. It just wasn't the same. And then don't you worry, guys, because Brian Pillman Jr. comes on in, he throws Malakai Black off, and I'm like, oh, it's going to happen. Oh, it's even better than I thought it was. It's not even Griff Garrison who's going to, it's Brian Pillman Jr. And Malakai Black does exactly that. He just nails him right in the face with the black mask. Drop my microphone. So yeah, it was, I got what I wanted in the end, and I got a little too excited about it again right now, so I'm gonna probably go, take a nice hot bath. I'm just kidding, I don't have a bath, I live in an apartment. I'm gonna probably go make myself some dinner, and maybe make myself some more tea, and calm down. But, we already talked about the main event, like I said, guys, at the beginning of the show, and I thought overall this was really fun. Somehow I thought I wasn't gonna have a lot of analysis about this, because it was a holiday thing, but we're going over an hour at this point, so I'm gonna hop on off here. I'm gonna go make myself some tea and calm down. If you feel like you need to cheer yourself up, the way I do it is watch Brock Anderson get black masked in the face. I do that. So go ahead, give that a go, or just maybe go do something a normal person would do. And I'm excited to talk to you guys next week about Dynamite. Like I said, go check out the Rampage Review Show on this show. I know I'm going to. And have yourself a holly jolly Christmas or whatever holiday you celebrate this year. New Year's is stupid, but if I don't talk, I don't know. I can't do math. What's today? Today's the 23rd. Okay, I'm gonna talk to you guys before New Year's. So unless something terrible happens, which tends to be it's been a pattern lately. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, but unless something terrible happens, I'm not gonna tempt fate, and I will talk to you guys before New Year's. So you have to wait. You have to tune in to next week to hear me wish you a happy New Year. So if that ain't a cliffhanger, I don't know what is. Hope you guys have a great week. Thank you for listening to this show. Make sure, like I said, you check out all the other co-hosts here on the WWE Podcast. Sign up for Patreon, $1 a month. You get all these things ad-free. You can also subscribe on iTunes and get all this stuff ad-free. A lot of ad-free options. A lot of exclusive shows like Nostalgia when you do all this ad-free stuff. And most importantly, make sure you have yourself a dang holly jolly good old evening, morning, afternoon, Friday, Thursday, any day of the week. Light day. Enjoy the time. All right, I'll talk to you guys next week.